Suffering from dry, tired, irritated eyes? Don't let dry eyes win. Use Systane Pro. It hydrates, restores, and protects dry eyes for up to 12 hours. Systane Pro. Triple action dry eye relief.
A KFC tale in the pursuit of flavor. If the Colonel could read all your internet comments over the last few years, he'd say, "People sure love my sweet, smoky KFC Original Honey Barbecue, and it's time we bring it back so they can put that bold, tangy sauce on their favorite orders." He'd also say, "Thanks for calling my chicken goaded, bussin', and low-key fire, bro." The Colonel lived so we could chicken. Back because you begged for it. KFC Original Honey Barbecue.
Prices and participation may vary while supplies last.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. It is great. Wait. Welcome into the Winklerverse. It's great to be here. We can't show emotion. Chicago says we can't show emotion. No, nobody can emote.
I have a question about this, but yes.
Big deal. It's a playoff game.
This isn't even that big of a show. It's just it's literally a random Tuesday.
It's random Tuesday in October. It's a big deal. Can't even emote.
So what percent of like Cubs universe?
Actually... Carlos Zambrano threw a no-hitter in that same ballpark, but you know,
Jacob what percent of Cubs fans actually are feeling that? Or is this like 0.1? Really? This is like, it's like a prevailing, like, hey, calm down.
Well, it's not about Jacob Mizorowski. It's about your team losing.
Yeah.
Like, and then another guy, and like, how many times have a guy like Russell Wilson running down the field, or, you know, you can think of a bunch of different guys, and it's just because they're not on your team and they're excited and you're not.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, it was. I said this last night. Grant Bills, Paul Emig alongside here on the show. This fine show tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Brett. Bart. Sorry, I'm tweeting at Brett. I'm quote tweeting a Brett right now. Thank you for having us, Bart.
Yeah.
Tim.
Tyler, can you edit that in post? Oh, shit. But I said last night, Jacob Mizorowski is going to lead the league in people being mad at him for things he like innocently does or has no part of. Everybody's mad at him for being an all-star. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't petition the league to become an all-star.
Right.
Nine guys said, "Nah, it's cool, boss." And then he's like, "Yeah, that'd be great." And then
kind of cool.
He's a young kid. The stadium is charged up. And I saw Cubs fans shitting on Murphy for saying like, "It felt like a home game in there." Yeah, it should always feel like a home game. Yeah, well, you buy all the tickets, dude. We're not ignoring that you don't come up here in droves.
Right.
We've never, I mean, the Brewers themselves charge more for your games, for parking. We've never not said like, "I don't know. They're telling me there's Cubs fans. I only see Brewers." We've never pretended like it didn't happen. We just don't like it.
Can you imagine if Matt LaFleur was the Brewers manager and had to say like, "Hey, shout out to the gold package fans tonight, baby."
Oh, man. He'd if Matt LaFleur was the Brewers manager, this problem would have been solved a long time ago, though.
He'd be like Andy in The Office when he takes over reception and he loves it way too much. He'd be like, "Hey, when's the promotions meeting? This bobblehead makes more sense after we do the crew neck giveaway. Don't you guys think?"
I like it.
So I'm excited that they're up 2-0. I mean, I'm still not like, I still want the series to be over before I have any personal joy.
Yeah.
But it's been fun, and going to the game was a blast.
Did that happen last minute? I don't know the story there.
Me going to the game?
Mm-hmm. The Saturday, game one.
One of my kids' friends' dads. And I say that, but he's a friend too. You know, it's like. But he texts a group of dads like, "Hey, anybody want to go?" Because he bought a 4-pack for the playoffs.
Oh.
And nobody was answering. And I was like, I did a John Cena meme where he raises his hand. And he's like, "All right, you're in." And then I thought I wanted to take my kid, but then I didn't know when the game was going to be. And he's like, "I didn't want to go." And then the game happened. And then he's like, "I wish I was there." And
oh, okay. What was that, 200? Was that 200 level?
Yeah, 200 level. We found a guy. I had a lot to drink alcohol wise.
What?
But we found a guy. We found a guy who, during the national anthem, my brother went too, and she was pouring his drink during the anthem.
Ooh, that's actually okay. Bad.
My guy wasn't though. My guy, with like a mullet situation. Mm-hmm. My guy was full salute.
Goddamn right.
And I'm like, okay. And then he poured the drink and he poured more. He didn't like measure the cup. He poured enough where it's like, oh, if I'm going to pay $30 for this drink, I feel like I'm actually getting a $30 drink. So we kept going back, obviously drank too much. But had fun. I remember the game, so that's not in question. Don't remember going home. Nah, I'm kidding. Tim?
Riding or driving home?
Oh, I don't drive.
So this was not a Rockies 2018 situation, is what you're saying.
I didn't fall asleep in the ninth inning, no. I was alert. It's the playoffs, guys. If you did.
That was playoffs. That was also the playoffs.
Yeah, then that's why it's fine. It's the playoffs. Let's take a drink. Cheers for the playoffs. Yeah. What did you want to talk about regarding the big game?
The blue and maize.
I didn't feel like we were. I didn't know if you thought I was done or if Paul was picking it up or.
Grant, you pick it up.
It's not my job here.
Yeah, you're supposed to ask a question. It's called mm-hmm.
Well, this is
so far away from the bit.
We're out of the bit. We're into the show.
This is only a 6-minute opening. Usually, then Grant will say an hour, and then 12 minutes.
Yeah, but I read an article that you got to get right into it.
Well, then you already lost. We've already lost. There's a little. I wanted to say, Jacob Mizrowski is a real problem with these emotions. Mm-hmm, or so you kind of got that one.
What's the problem?
Hindsight being notwithstanding on the decision that Pat Murphy made with the Aaron Ashby thing and the decoy Quinn Priester and the bullpen thing. It worked in the sense that they won the game. It didn't work in the sense that Ashby gave up 3 runs in the first inning, but, you have enjoyed the way that Pat Murphy has managed these first 2 games. It's made sense. Now, the wind notwithstanding, like, duh, it's worked.
Yeah, yeah. So, like,
you're enjoying the Pat Murphy experience in this opening part of the playoff run.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. First of all, Grant, this is a broken record, but loved a tweet that you had where you're like, Mizorowski, this might work because when it's actually down the middle, Cubs fans are like, are like, what do you do? What the hell?
You don't know what to fucking do with it. When they see it coming right down the pipe, they're like effectively wild is the term.
Yeah. What I liked was, and maybe it's because they started with a leadoff homer on Saturday and the Brewers came back and scored 6.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect Andrew Vaughn to tie the game in the first inning on Monday night, but.
Yeah.
When the Brewers were down 3-0, I didn't feel like it was anywhere close to over.
Okay.
And that is not something that I think has been typical of
the zone blitz pick and bash is back.
Tim's
going to be busy today. I'm excited for the zone blitz pick and cash or whatever that was, though.
My bad. Sorry. I did do Bill's show today. I have everything set up differently in here. It's fixed now. Jesus, can I have one mistake?
No.
How'd it go? Did you tape some interviews for your later show?
3 of them things, yeah.
Ooh. you didn't feel like it was over. And I can't imagine, even if you talk to Cubs fans. And it's funny, too. We still loved Council. Up until the end. And I know the 3 of us had a show where we were pondering the thought of wondering if, like, we went all breakfast at Tiffany's on it. Like, I think, what about,
you know, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think we both kind of, Where we're like, do they need a new voice?
Yeah.
Do they? But we never. We were still. We weren't saying they need a different voice because we don't like Craig Counsell. We were still in it to the end. Cubs fans. Mm. I feel like they don't. I mean, they're. But then again, he's also making $8 million. He kicked off David Ross off the team.
Yeah.
And I was talking with Rami last night on The Score. As they were airing Rami before the Cubs broadcast, and we were talking about Justin Turner leading off.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, he's responding to Ashby starting, but these are $8 million decisions now. Like, yeah. this is what you're paying Craig Counsell to do. And you're against Pat Murphy. So this entire series, however it plays out, and I'm, again, cautious to celebrate anything.
Yep.
But it's two guys that know each other as well as you can in baseball. I mean, the guy was his coach, and then he was on his staff, you know. So, you know, when you're like playing, I don't know, maybe Madden, the best is chess, but nobody plays chess. Paul probably does.
I actually wish I did, but I don't.
But you know, when like you're in a competition with someone you know very well, you're thinking, well, I know what they're going to do, so I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
But then you're thinking, but they know I'm going to do this. So I'm going to do this because they think I'm going to do this. And then you get to a point where it's like, all right, well, he's going to throw that guy. So I'm going to put this guy at the top of the lineup, which means he's then going to do that. And I think he thinks I'm going to do that then, but I'm actually going to do that, which he'll probably think. So he might just do that. So then you're all the way back to like, are you even outsmarting anybody? Or are you just, right. have you then come up with this insane scenario that never would have been a thing? And you just end up with, I don't know, I'm going to lead off Justin Turner, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no rationale. The pieces don't fit. You just try to come up with the most random thing that you can. So to answer your question, I think every Cubs fan, if they could have a choice, like, would you rather have Pat Murphy manage the rest of this series for you? Who's saying no to that, you know?
Yeah.
You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grant, I want you to answer that question about enjoying the Pat Murphy experience. But after the Brewers won game one, Grant, I don't know if you commented about this before the announcement of Ashby, but what would have been your top five guesses as to how Murphy would have managed the rotation for game two?
I would have guessed Priester or Quintana.
Right. So like, where would have what he actually did ranked ahead of the game?
I mean, probably not that far down.
Really?
Ashby is an opener. Well, they led Priester. They preempted Priester with like DL Hall and Chad Patrick earlier this year.
Sure.
So after Quintana and Priester, who were really the only two legitimate, viable official starting candidates left, because it was, I couldn't see them starting Miz. The next option would have either been Chad Patrick or Aaron Ashby. So it would have been on the board. I probably wouldn't have bet on it, but it would have been on the board.
Isn't it strange, though, that, and Grant, I defer to you on a lot of this because, you know, how much you know and how much you follow the team and how closely you are with it, but isn't it a little bit strange that on as having had a bye out of the wild card round and having had played one game in the past 10, 12 days, somewhere in that range, 10, however many days it was between the end of the regular season and game two, what was it, nine days? That this was like the best they had for game two. That's strange, right? Like it wasn't until it was happening that I felt like, oh shit, like on 9 days rest or whatever it was in between this happening, this is their game two. And again, I'm sure it has something to do with like, well, we'd rather have Priester in Chicago. We'll find out the method to this madness at maybe at one point sooner or later after the series is over or whatever. I don't know. It worked out. I'm ecstatic. It worked out. My answer is loving the Pat Murphy experience. Grant, you should still answer that question. But I was still trying to piece together, like, to Bart's point, was it overthinking the overthink? And then by the time you overthought the overthink, or is this just like,
I don't think
this
so.
Is what he was going to do. And he knew this was what he was going to do back during the wild card round.
So I will answer this two avenues. My first avenue is a very simple, I have enjoyed it, but we've been able to enjoy it because it didn't ultimately matter. Like last night, I could go through the way that Murphy managed it and say, oh, I don't know if Ashby was the move there. And then later in the game, like Miz in a tie game, ooh, that ended up working. And then Chad Patrick comes out and looks awesome with a 4-run lead. And then they yank him after one game. Like, ooh, maybe he had more length there. But you know what's great? When all of your big dicks on offense, like Churio and Contreras, are getting big hits, like I don't have to worry about the other stuff. Like, you know what Chicago radio is worried about today? Well, why'd you start with Shota instead of Colin Ray? It's like, well, your offense didn't do dick. It doesn't matter. But when your offense doesn't do anything, you're forced to like put a microscope over these things. And I'm just enjoying watching an offense put together a rally, whether it's with two outs, whether it's single home run, hit by pitch, single home run. Like I'm enjoying watching the Brewers' best players not disappear in these huge moments. So that's what I'm enjoying. I also think secondarily that Murphy is kind of rope-a-doped Council. And I don't know if he's rope-a-doped him to the point where it's gotten them a win. I think the games would have played out the same way. But Council in his pregame presser on Friday went on a rant about how the Brewers take the form of their manager. And that's good coaching. And he's noticed that. And Steve McGargy asked him, well, okay, give us an example, which by the way is such a layup of a question. Compliment your opponent. You don't overthink it. Just say something nice. They're tough. They're a tough at bat. And Craig Council, and I'm quoting him verbatim, basically went, they don't swing.
Yeah.
Their manager tells them not to swing, which is the equivalent of when your girlfriend is like, what do you like about me? And you're like, your hair. Like, it was such a shitty, it was a prick answer first and foremost. But
like people always in college is like, you got nice eyes.
Yeah.
Oh,
so then what happens? The game on Saturday starts and they jump all over Boyd's ass early in counts. Yeah. And then after the game, Murphy makes a comment in his postgame presser. Was like, yeah, I don't know where this idea came from that we don't swing early in counts. It's like, I don't know. I think the Cubs expected something in game one and didn't get it. And I thought, listening to Craig Council's mid-game interview, he thought Priester was coming out. That was what they had planned for. And I think Murphy knew that. And after the game, Murphy goes, well, we never planned on pitching Priester. And I'm like, that's fine. But you knew what you were leading on. Like, don't play dumb. You knew the impression you were giving. Murphy is this, aw, shucks, it's all about the guys. I'm just trying to pretend I know what I'm doing. I think this effing guy, man, like more than once, I think has hit the Cubs with a little bit of a curveball. And I don't think it's mattered in the end, but I'd certainly rather be the manager that seems one step ahead than the alternative, right? Like, I've really enjoyed that. I think he's done a good job. And I don't think he's anything special tactically. I think he's more of a coach than a manager, but he's really done well, I think, through two games. Sorry that was long.
No, great answer.
You also have a manager in Murphy that seems to enjoy the existence of being alive.
I was going to say, if you didn't say a different word, I was going to say alive. Like, like again, we have a lot of emotional damage from Council and watching all the Brewers that we did during Council's. But what Bart is miming right now for those who are watching, but like it is stressful watching Craig Council watch a game.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that that's nothing over the span of 7 months with the guy as a player. It just, Grant, you just
like when I tried to build our crib, classic dad comedy trope, but I tried to build the crib and my wife's just like, I can't bear this. I will do this. I can't bear to even know that you're doing this. You're so frustrated. It's unsettling me that I need to do it.
For sure.
That's how it is watching Craig manage. It's like, just go in the back and watch the game on TV and then tell Quentin Berry or some shit, which I didn't even know he was there. Quentin Berry followed Craig. I always remember Quentin Berry for striking out like in 17?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we brought him. He's basically our Brandon Lockridge that year. And then he's got the bat. What are you doing?
Management council.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can't imagine like. Now, again, I'm not anything right now.
I think you should be a little something. I'm with you that I'm not going to say that it's done, but you give yourself a little bit. This is pretty satisfying. Cubs fans are having a meltdown on the internet. I mean, they're. And I don't engage for the most part, but I read. You know what I mean?
They're right to do that, Grant, because the Brewers are cheating, right? They're a cheating franchise who cheats. And the Cubs are right to call it out. The Brewers, well-known cheaters. They've cheated. They cheated with the shadows. They cheated with knocking the temperature down.
Did the Marquee Network, did they ever retract the statement? Or
By the way, that was so insane. The woman sharing the report was like, the dugout was in the sun all morning, and now the sun has moved, so it's in the shade. And I'm watching this clip like, yeah, the funny thing about the sun is it fucking does that. And John Greenberg is posting pictures in the press box at 9:30 in the morning, and first pitch is at 1. And he's like, weird shadows. It's like, I don't know, man, the game's not for almost 5 hours. Like, maybe wait. That's like going to cover a Packer game, getting in at 9 a.m. for a noon game, take a picture of the bowl. Like, light crowd today. Are you fucking stupid? Like,
yeah, they badger student section to...
The shadow.
Yeah. And she used to work in Milwaukee, by the way.
She had a good sense of humor about it. I'm not making fun of her at all. Like, it was fine.
Maybe it was a thing where they're like, LOL, look at this. And then everyone's like, no, look at this.
Yeah. And
because we're all just filling time on the pregame.
The Yacht Rock during batting practice was very funny. That someone told me about that last year. I'm like, what? This is so... And then the fact that this has ever become a storyline, like Craig's distaste for soft 70s rock, is just, it's hilarious.
Do you like that we independently came to the same? So when they played Yacht Rock during the Cubs batting practice, I had said on my show, and then you had also said on your show, independent, about like the kind of guy you have to be.
Yeah.
To where it's a known fact about you.
Yeah.
Craig Council hate. You can just dislike Yacht Rock, or if it comes on, you can be like, can you turn that? I'm not really into it. But no one's going to be like, oh, Craig hates Yacht Rock. But you have to like say it unprovoked in situations where Yacht Rock is not playing.
Yeah.
Like you get in an elevator with him. He's like, hey, fucking Christopher Cross.
Yeah. It blows my mind. The background of how that comes to pass is the more interesting part of the story to me. And it's funny and it's good gamesmanship. Again, like, no one's getting hurt there. It's a funny thing. I hope rival teams do that stuff to each other. That's good, clean fun.
If the Brewers win the World Series, Craig Counsell should get a ring. Not today, but someday.
He might not need it today, but he'll need it someday.
That's a joke.
Well, that comes to you from the same guy who also doesn't think Jackson Chourio should be on this team because he should have been traded.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There's a track record. Okay. Any other Brewers thoughts?
Well, a lot, but
Brewers thoughts that are timely that won't be. I was going to do this. You're enjoying the every other day off thing in this series.
I did not like working during the show. Something that Grant's going to have to. What are you going to do tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean,
no one will be listening to you.
I don't. Thank you. The only way people are going to listen is if I like make it a watch party,
which I think you should.
But I don't know what that looks like. I don't know, man. You're going to throw bobbleheads and jump up and down and kick and scream. I'm not that guy. I can't do that.
Just be like the 0-2. No home run. No. Be that guy. Be M. Babs or whatever his name is.
M. Bone.
I feel bad for that girl version of him, though. She actually seems to care about the team. That guy is just fronting.
Bart, you've done the counter programming thing, though. Like you've purposefully counter programmed.
When?
where you've even done it on your national show where like, okay, everyone's going to be watching. I forget what game it would have been, but you, like, everyone's watching this game. I have two choices. I can either like acknowledge that there's this game and that everyone's listening and watching to it, or I can talk about something completely different. And you went the completely different route. This is like in the last 3 months. I don't remember.
Last night I rambled on about Penn State for 15 minutes. I don't know what the fuck I was saying. I was just like reading shit. I was just like, I'm watching the game. Cause I, you know, I never read anything, but I took a lot. I basically also cut and pasted like NFL stuff from an article, and I was just like reading stats and like, I'm just, and it helped that the first inning happened before I went on. So the epic swings of that, I got on, it's 3-3, and then they homered, and then it was 7-3. And then it's like, okay, well, we'll watch this game, obviously. And but it's not like if it was back and forth with me and Carlos, that would have been too much because he's a Cubs fan. Wednesday will be better for me. Thursday, they would have to play at night again. And Carlos has the Giants Eagles at the same time. So that sucks for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday. So I'm at least thankful that if the Brewers do not win this series, I will not be on the air for it. So they were able to win last night, which means they could not get eliminated until the weekend, and I would not be on the air for it.
Yeah. Grant, what's your answer about the every other day being a, being a good thing? Is that a content answer, a fan answer, or it's because it's better for the Brewers answer?
I enjoy having a little bit of downtime. These games are incredibly stressful to me. We watched the first two innings of game one in a conference room at a church while I was waiting for one of my two or three best friends in the world to get married. And I was shaking worse than he was. Like, they're stressful. Like, yeah, playoff baseball games are very stressful. So to have a little bit of a break, but also for content purposes, you know what I mean? Like, I really enjoyed the fact that they won that game on Saturday and I got to talk about it Monday night before the game was played 8 p.m. Monday night. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I like that. I wanted to talk about that game. There were a lot of good talking points. So I guess a combination of all, like one off day, and it allows the teams to be a little healthier without completely changing the entire geometry of the sport. Like one day off doesn't completely change the sport the way that a week off in between games would.
It might have, that day off might have, well, almost for sure was the reason that Jackson Chourio played in game two.
Could have been.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. The only thing I want to comment real quick is, I'm always a little bit behind on DVR for the most part, right? Kids get to bed and then I start watching whatever sports game is on. I started watching the first inning of the Brewers and the Cubs. Obviously, I wasn't that far behind, maybe 15 minutes, but the first inning happened for the Cubs. And I did a quick, like, 5 minute, I paused it and I went and watched the beginning of Chiefs Jaguars because I just needed, like, an emotional reset. To your point, Grant, how stressful it was, I was like, okay, this isn't going well. I'll come back. We'll regroup. You know,
I was in your case, I would have just been like, "All right, I'm just gonna check the score to see if we've come back yet."
Well, you can always do like the at least on YouTube TV, you can watch key plays to catch up to live.
Hmm.
Like I didn't do that in this case, but I've done that for other games. So then you can, yeah.
Just giving away our humanity one step at a time. It's fine.
You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed-sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm sorry. All right. We have to talk about, I think there's enough to it that we should talk about it. With the Giannis report and Shams, who can be ignored, and we as a trio have done. We have ignored. We have also engaged. Did you guys read the report, like the specifics within it?
No, I saw it this morning, and I had to fill 6 hours, and I decided I'm just if he's getting traded, let me know when. Otherwise, I'll watch on opening night. I've been too saturated, and I've beaten over the head with too many reports and too many things. Just let me know if he's getting traded at this point.
So here's my question then.
I read it.
I'd read it too.
I thought, if you're still doing this, I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
You got me. Fine.
Yep. Say, in this case, which I've ignored plenty of the Shams stuff. This one, I was like, all right.
Did you learn anything?
Well, if this really was an exclusive negotiating window with the Knicks in August, if that's real, and Shams still generally can fuck off, like, I still think he's doing a thing. He's trying to speak something into existence. It's a thing. It's a thing, and he's doing it. Having said that, if there really was a 1 week or 2 week exclusive negotiating window that the Bucks were holding with the Knicks, that is extraordinarily telling, interesting, a bummer. I can add other words or phrases, but I definitely learned that part. And maybe Grant is hearing that right now for the first time, but that was part of the reporting from the article.
I didn't know that. You're telling me this for the first time. I saw tweets. I'm also, this is my way of paying back Shams for all the shit that he posted that was mostly fake that I read. I'm like, you're not getting my click on this one. You could be reporting that Giannis is on the moon right now, and you're not. It's just, it's a matter of principle now. You're not getting my click.
So then, is it true then? And this is not even like, is it actually true, the thing about Giannis's family moving to Greece? Is he going to be at swimming in Shorewood, or is he going to be in swimming in Athens? Like, because if that's
swimming is in Glendale,
you prick,
Tim.
Is that Bayshore, which just shut down their arcade and movie theater and bowling alley?
Did they really?
Yeah,
that used to be a go-to place.
And I still got tickets on the card I have.
Oh, that's got to be reimbursed. It wasn't iPick anymore, was it? It was something else.
No, it was something else.
You remember when it was iPick? Like 15?
Yeah, you know who always went there? It was Jason Kidd.
Yeah?
Jason Kidd went to see a lot of movies there.
Okay.
And Jason had the biggest plate of nachos you'll ever see. And my wife and I each got one. We didn't know they were that big. And then I housed mine and half of hers.
Do you know
who, like, eating food in a public space like that, especially when it's dark?
Wow, that's such a great take. I thought that was just me. Like, I won't do it.
Yeah, okay. I'm not into it. We took a niece and nephew once to a place in Whitefish Bay, which also closed.
Did it really? I know exactly which theater you're talking about.
Oh, that's been closed for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I lived in that area like 15 years ago, so it's been.
But we had a pizza. They had pizza. Mm. And we had a pizza there.
Grant, you wouldn't be a big fan of eating at medieval times if you've ever been.
I don't like eating. If let's say there's two of us and we're getting dinner. If the cost of the dinner and everything that's going into it is less than $80, I'm taking my food and eating it at my home.
Oh, that's such a great take.
The only reason I'm sitting down in a restaurant somewhere to eat around other people in a public space is if it's like, this is what we're doing and we put on clothes for this and we're going to you know what I mean? Like, I'm not eating. It blows my skull to the ceiling that people sit down at a Chipotle and eat food. It's not that it's gross. It's just I don't. Eating is a shameful act. It's that I'm hunched over and there's noises and I don't want anyone watching me and I don't want to hear you do it. And I don't want to watch you.
This is so comforting. Okay.
So I always thought it was weird that people, like, when you're trying to get to know someone, like, the thing you do is sit down and eat.
Let's go eat.
You should play around a mini golf. That's the key. That's the date.
Well, you'd only want to do that with me if you're okay with some putter throws.
Paul's an angry guy.
Oh, very. If I'm competitive, watch out.
I think you can learn a lot about someone at the dinner table.
So is Giannis, does he live in Greece?
Well, so part of the subsequent...
Not during the season. He's not going to be away from his entire family.
Then you missed some of the follow-up reporting that NBA Central there was a report in
Greece. I saw the tweet.
There was a report out of Greece that, again, is it true? I don't know, but he's been there all summer.
Lived there all summer.
Right. This wasn't Centel. This was NBA Central.
And I didn't see him at swimming all summer. And now I assume that he's back living here.
And what the article said.
And then in the offseason, he'll go live back in Greece. So what's wrong with that?
Well, what the article said, true, false, don't know, was that Mariah, his wife, was asked Milwaukee or Athens. And she said, we're going to stay in Athens for the season. We're not going to come back. This is what it said. This is what I read. Don't know if it's true. But if it's true, that's a huge, unfortunate, terrible piece of news for the Bucks and for Bucks fans. Right?
I don't know.
Give me a call when this eventually ends.
If Giannis left to like the Knicks or the Heat or the Warriors, that'd be one thing. If he's like, I'm just going to move back to Greece and play there.
No, well, so the connection that people were making, Bart, was that there's only one direct flight out of the U.S. to Athens and back, and it's out of New York. Well, out of Newark, New Jersey.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means it's a quicker commute is what it means.
No, nothing from Greece to the United States is a quick commute.
Then I think
if you're on an 8-hour flight, you're on a 10-hour flight. They got four kids.
Yeah.
They're not taking 8-hour flights twice a month. Okay.
More than that.
I'm not sharing news. I am passing along what was said. By the way,
you're digesting it pretty thick.
Well, yeah. 18 minutes ago, Brian Windhorst. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sure.
Quote, there has been an expectation for quite some time that Giannis's days in Milwaukee, one way or another, are numbered. Whether that was going to happen this year, whether it's going to happen potentially during this season, or whether it could happen next summer, end quote.
Sure.
Okay, well, I mean, we had him for 13 years and he won a championship. What's the big deal?
So here, I'll read you the other piece that was from earlier. According to, and it's a report out of Greece.
I think you love this Giannis shit. You love it.
First off, this sucks because they shouldn't, if they're going to trade him, like I want it to happen like tomorrow.
I would have wanted it to happen when does this stupid season start in October for some goddamn reason? Why?
Hockey starts in an hour.
If we have these things bookmarked somewhere where we could easily go back and find it, I have been on team. The best thing for the future of the Bucks is to trade Giannis now. And I said that like a year ago and 2 years ago, like once the championship window was by and large closed, the more you kick the can down the road, hoping that some miracle is going to happen, the less chance you have of recovering because you're going to keep trading picks, you're going to keep doing this. And the more that you keep doing whatever you can to kick the can down the road, the worse it's going to be. And by the way, if they actually were exclusively negotiating with the Knicks, who have nothing of substance that you would want back, right? Like someone whose commentary I think you can really trust on this and follow on this is Frank Madden, who I'm sure everyone listening is familiar with or knows. And even he's like, yeah, like the one thing you wouldn't want to do is have a Luka Doncic situation where you were exclusively negotiating with a team who didn't really have much to give you. And like, if the Bucks are going to honor Giannis's thing, like, well, I really want to be traded, but it's only to the Knicks, and they're going to honor
this, dude. Like, get fucked.
But again, I'm not trying to like say, well, what Shams reported is true. But Shams did report that there was this exclusive negotiating window in August between the Knicks and the Bucks. And then I'm just like, now I'm terrified, because if you're going to trade him for Mikal Bridges and a first round pick and some pick swaps, I'm, you know, like, what have you done? What have you done? You've destroyed. now you're crippled for at least a decade.
So is this around the time that I got all these phone calls and messages from people that Giannis was being traded to the Knicks and it was going to be announced tomorrow?
That actually would line up.
Yeah, that was August, I think.
That means the information was good. The timing may not have come to fruition, or the result may have not come to fruition.
I am so unbelievably unmoved by all of this. And maybe that's a personal problem of mine. Maybe there's a lack of investment or something here. I just, Paul, to your point, well, you need the picks. You need the picks. Why? So we can draft Scotty Barnes and Kevin Knox and suck balls. Like, I don't, or players like that. Not those exact players, but like those types of guys.
It was the middle of July. I just checked.
Okay, so it was either that was true or, yeah, but well, Grant, I would say what you would want to have happen is you'd want to do what the Oklahoma City Thunder did. And not that they could have ever envisioned being the champion 5 years later.
Paul, I don't think you're speaking to a choir here. I think.
Because well, right, and then in this group, I never have been because you guys have always been hang on to Giannis as long as you can. But
we're also disinterested in this premise as it exists.
Let me just ask you one question, then we'll move on. This is the one I want you to answer. This is where it all started. If the Bucks don't make a significant playoff run this year, you believe this is Giannis's last season in Milwaukee? Mm-hmm, or mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like that's the truth, huh? It seems like this is going to be it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's obvious.
Free me from this unbelievably heavy and annoying.
And then does that make Shams right? Is he right? Has he been right this whole time?
Or did he will it into existence?
If every day I'm running up and down the street saying, we don't have much time, the sun will engulf us all. And then it happens 9 billion years from now. Am I right? I guess so. I guess I'm
right. The Thunder won 22 games and 24 games in back-to-back years before rebounding to win 40 games the year after.
Mm-hmm.
I might be old-fashioned. So, look, I probably come at this from a different school of thought. I enjoy winning games more than I enjoy losing games.
But that's still short-sighted by you. I mean,
I want to win more games now. That's better to me.
Okay, fair enough.
I would like to tell everybody that.
Oh boy!
I'd like to tell everybody that things are going good, and I hope you're all doing well.
Oh, that was all right. Next topic.
And that Happy Place Hemp is 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. We're talking the gummies, the tinctures, the balms. Remember when I thought I had gout? Am I getting a little fat chin here? I just shaved. Can it
yes.
cream that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am getting fatter again. Just by like 5 pounds. But actually, the scale's the same, but it's distributing badly.
Did you kick us off the stream just to look closer at your jowls?
Dude, it's going to get real bad. So hold on. I was going to have it be a secret, but I think I might just tell you.
Well, on some level, you do control your appearance.
What's not a secret is Happy Place Hemp is 25% off each and every order. Type in Bart at checkout, and in most cases, free shipping. I say most cases because if you just get like a 4-pack of salts, or they'll just say, hey, just a couple dollars in shipping. But if you get a bunch of them, they're like, we'll just give this to you. Yeah, I shaved today, and I'm looking. So I'm going to have to lose some weight here. You know, I used to be able to take. I used to be able to take the skin under my chin it all the way up to my lip. I had so much extra chin skin. But I might shave my beard for a Halloween costume.
When was the last time you shaved cleanly?
My last week in TV.
Wow.
I once had like a Fu Manchu for a guy's trip up north, bruh.
It's badass.
I know.
Meanwhile, the Bucks have tweeted Bucks versus the world.
Guys, it's baseball season. Can you do your bullshit on your own time, NBA? It's baseball season. It's football season. I again ask, why is hockey and why are basketball starting right now? I love sports. Go team. The more sports, the better.
Versus the world. That is funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to retweet that.
As you should. All right. Quick Brewers question before I ask you a Packers one.
Tweet Bucks versus Paul Imig's content creation.
Whatever. The good news is we all want what's best for the Bucks. We just have different thoughts on how to get there.
I want what's best for me at any moment. That's what I want. Continue. Sorry.
Pete Crow Armstrong almost caught that home run. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. I am enjoying the memes and the content on that.
I think I'm one of the rare Brewers fans that thinks he's kind of cool.
I do like, didn't he show too much emotion though, throwing his bat and his glove down the dugout hallway last night on that video.
Well, I don't know why. It wasn't even a big game, so I'm told.
Yeah, it is strange. I want to ask you a Packers question, but I saved a couple things to share with you, so I'm just going to randomly throw them in right now. A great Kevin O'Connell quote, who was unquestioned a top three NFL head coach, Grant, and definitely not on the same level as Matt LaFleur. He had a quote that Bart is a Bart Winkler quote. Quote, I believe organizations fail young quarterbacks before young quarterbacks fail organizations.
Sure. So they're failing this brilliant mastermind of a coach is admitting he's failing J.J. McCarthy so far. Sounds like a special, special mind.
I would say he's not failing him by not playing him. He's saving him from not by not playing him.
This is like a turkey neck.
We're just having a totally different conversation.
Next, Paul.
The Packers are healthy or getting healthy or much healthier, perhaps as healthy as they've been since all season, especially with Christian Watson back. Packers are going to come back from this bye and go on a roll.
Well, they have to face most likely the only quarterback that's beat them so far this season in Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm. It's a good talking point.
I don't understand why anybody thinks Joe Flacco. The Browns made a trade with the Bengals for the first time since they've come back.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns won this trade here, folks. Joe Flacco is bad. Have you watched Joe Flacco this year?
Yes.
Even with the Colts, he was not good. He came off the couch, played well for the Browns, had that last bit of energy, sucked in the playoffs, and then went to the Colts, was bad. He was bad.
Yep.
And then he's bad. Like, these games that he's just missing guys entirely.
Mm-hmm.
He can't move.
Against the Packers, he looked like he didn't want to be out there.
Yeah. And, so now the Packers are going to face a 40-year-old quarterback three times in a season. How about that? Twice being Joe.
True.
Like, if the Packers had this guy and then traded him to the Bears, you'd be like, what do they know? But they know what we all know. He's bad.
Someone gave up assets in 2025 for Joe Flacco.
The Bengals are only doing this from a PR standpoint of the same reason Russell Wilson got benched. They weren't ready to go to Dart, but they knew they could not start Russ again. They just couldn't.
Yeah.
They can't start Jake Browning one more game. They can't.
Right.
So what can we do? Who can we call? Well, the Giants will give us them, but they want this. We don't care that much. What about the Browns? They're weird. So the Browns, who once had Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett before the draft, now have Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Pickett's in Vegas. Flacco down the road in Cincinnati. I guess he'll start, but I'm not worried about it.
So now if Dylan Gabriel pulls a hammy playing Sunday, is Shedeur Sanders the next quarterback to play for Cleveland?
100%.
And if he's not, what the fuck? Why did they draft him? Like, if they're going to get rid of their first guy, put in their second guy, and still won't make Shedeur the backup, why did you take him?
Shedeur is clearly the backup now, right? Did I miss something?
No, he's the backup, but I don't know who else. They don't even have anybody.
No, there's Zappy's on the practice squad or something like that?
I mean, they have Deshaun Watson.
But do they? But do they?
I don't know. Shedeur and him are always talking on the sidelines.
Are they talking or is Shedeur miming?
Yeah, that was a bad look.
What an absolute loser.
I couldn't tell if you're what your tone is on that, Grant. Because it's same in the text message. I couldn't tell if you were when you responded to our text about Shedeur, you're like, what a, I forget what you said, but I couldn't tell if it was sarcastic or not.
It was such a loser. Like, who thinks that's a good idea?
Okay, so you're being sincere. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I'm being very, if my kid was Shedeur Sanders, he did that, I'd smack him on the back of the head. Like, what are you doing?
Bart, are you doing the Bartometer that I recommended?
Oh, I forgot I had to do that tonight. God damn it. I'm doing disappointing teams.
Yeah, that's the one I recommended.
But with college.
Yeah, I don't like that addition because I can't help with that or care about it.
Penn State's loss was pretty epically bad.
That was the UCLA game that I
saw. And I saw this picture of, what is it, Jerry Neuheisel? Is that his name, Jerry?
Don't know.
This guy's hair is like, he looks like he's out of a different time. And I saw this picture of him being carted off the field. And it looked like it was from the 80s. I was like, what is going on here? He played quarterback for them. He's Rick Neuheisel's kid. I'll show you his picture. There's old Jer.
Oh, wow. He looks like what's his name? Something Holland, the soccer player?
Yeah.
Or another member of the band Nelson from the 80s with the two brothers with the blonde hair. What's the soccer player's name?
Yeah, Holland.
Hollandaise.
What's his? Okay, that is his name.
Don't
I watch West Ham? By the way, they hung in there.
Erling Haaland.
Erling. Yeah. West Ham should have been beaten by a lot more. I mean, how many goal scoring opportunities can Arsenal boot away?
West Ham might get relegated. I'm fucked. That's my team. They suck. They suck. They like fired their manager already.
Oof. Okay. Hey, Grant, the question that I posed that Bart will be partially answering, I want your answer. The team that will most likely be the consensus worst team in the league by the end of this season in the NFL is?
Oh, by the end of the season?
By the end of the season. That was how I framed it. You can do yours however you want, but
I think it's still the Titans.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, they shouldn't have won that game on Sunday. I mean,
no, they should not.
I like Kyler Murray too, which is sad. Like, I like being the guy who's actually like, "Hey, everyone, I think he's pretty sweet." Like, it's a fun little.
Don't we have sports. A chip in the football? I thought that ball had crossed the line.
Of course it has. Of course it did. But we got to zoom in and say, "Well, did the finger start to just fuck off?" It's like the baseball thing where it's like, "Well, he beat the plate of the bag, but his pinky rose." An eighth of an inch for like a split second, and therefore he's out. Like, no. That was a touchdown.
It is a tough, like, running through the finish line is a tough thing to teach. It was always tough for me to learn. At the finish line.
I've heard the final segment of your four-hour radio show. It is something that is difficult.
Well done. So what you actually think, you think the Titans are worse than the Jets?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Brian Callahan's going to get fired before Aaron Glenn does.
Part of that's...
I don't think the Titans can fire Brian Callahan at least until the end of the year. They just drafted a quarterback. You can't do that to the guy.
That's exactly right.
The Dolphins can fire Mike McDaniel whenever the fuck they want. Like, there's no problem. There's no issue there. The Titans are like, can't do that to Cam Ward. He just got there.
Yeah. I think that will actually save Callahan's job, is that you don't want to...
It's Matt Nagy all over again. He should do what Matt Nagy failed to do. Ingratiate himself like a remora, like a leech, cling on to that kid.
All right. Yeah. You good?
Good.
Good. Do you want us to continue talking?
I would actually prefer you didn't.
Okay. All right, sir. Grant and I have been texting during. It's like, Paul's going to leave and we're really going to dig into this Giannis situation.
I'm saving my real takes for Paul Jets.
I do enjoy those topics more than you, even though Grant, like 4 weeks ago, you accused me of, what was the take? It was like, where you thought I was being a robot. Oh, it was about the rumors. Oh, the Micah Parsons rumors. Where I said, no, I'm being sincere. Like, I'm getting excited. Are we supposed to get excited about this?
Oh, and you thought, well, yeah, you asked, are we really doing this? That's how I read it. And you're like, are we really doing
this? Trade rumor conversation is fun. So now you're poo-pooing.
That's where your feet are, man. Grow where you're planted, man.
Dance with the girl who brought you, man.
Yeah.
Bye, friends.
Thanks for stopping into the Winklerverse.